Lord, praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise the Lord. Praise Him in the heights above. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His heavenly hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all you shining stars. Praise Him, your highest heavens and you waters above the skies. Let Him praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded and they were created. He set them in place and forever and ever, and He gave the decree that would never pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and you ocean depths. Lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do spinning, you mountains and all you hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and cattle, small creatures and flying birds, kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and rulers of the earth, young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord. For His name alone is exalted. His splendor is above all the heavens. He has raised up people as a horn to praise all the saints of Israel, the people close to His heart. Praise the Lord. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, praise You. It's all about You, Jesus. And right now, Lord, I want to pray that You move Johnny aside and You stand right in front of this pulpit right here, Lord, and may You be glorified, Lord. May Jesus, You be exalted. As we receive Your word, Lord Jesus, may the words convict our hearts and break us where You want to break us, Lord. We pray that You, Holy Spirit, come in, God, and knock on that door and ask the question, am I Your Savior? And Lord, we want to commit this time to You and pray, Lord, that You and You alone be exalted high above all else. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's a very humbling privilege to be standing here. Many years ago, when the Hmong was still worshiping with the English at the back in the old little church over there, and Pastor Roger was standing here preaching away, I remember I was at the back using, playing my phone. So I'm watching you at the back as well. This message is for you guys at the back, close to the doors. I used to always sit at the back, close to the door, so when it's finished, I was out. So I'm watching you guys, and this message is for you guys as well as those at the front here as well. And Russell, if you're outside, this is for you as well. I don't know if he's outside. He said to me he's going to see you. There he is. This is for you as well, Russell. Right, you're not getting away from me. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. When Kevin came and asked me to share a message here with you guys, I really felt I wasn't worthy. And I'm not just saying that. I mean, I'm in the presence here of great, great men and women of Christ. I mean, great men and women of Christ. I mean, I don't want to name any names because right now the pulpit is for Jesus Christ, but if it wasn't for you guys looking after the Hmong congregation, we wouldn't be here at all. We wouldn't even have a church. So on behalf of the Hmong congregation, I just want to say thank you for your patience, for looking after our kids at Sunday school. We've got a lot of kids there in the Hmong congregation too. But it is a very, very, it is a very humbling privilege to be able to share the Word of God with everyone here. And may it speak to us, may it touch us, and my prayer tonight is, or today is, that it transforms us. I'm not interested in just standing up here and telling a story and everyone's happy and going home. No, I want you to get it today. I want your hearts to be open today, to be able to receive Jesus Christ today into your life and allow Him to be your King, your God, your everything. That's my prayer. So if you have a Bible, those who have heard me preach, initially, I never write a PowerPoint because I want everyone to take out their Bibles. I'm a big believer in if you come to church, you bring a Bible to church. I'm a big believer in those in my CTP class. You know that you come. Oh, since Roger said that, I'll allow you guys an app. Otherwise, if you come to my class from now on, no apps too. It's got to be the Bible. I'm traditional. Okay, so take out your Bibles if you have any, or have one, or your app, to Isaiah chapter 6, and let's go through the text together. It's an amazing text here. So Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 to 8. Thank you for Colin for put it up, and we've already read it. Okay, Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. Let's get into the text. In the year that King Uzziah died, okay, right now it's Isaiah speaking. It's Isaiah speaking. And he says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Now, when I first read that passage, in the year that King Uzziah died, I wondered, why are you telling me about this King Uzziah? Why? I'm not interested in that. Where's Jesus here? Or, you know? But then you come to understand that as you read the Bible, they're very specific. Like, you know, sometimes they'll say, you know, James, the brother of John, the son of... I'm like, I don't need to know that far. Just tell me about the guy. But then you come to understand why they use specific references and quotes. And the reason why that is so that there's a time frame. We remember, we know when. And King Uzziah died around 740 BC, before Christ. So around that time, we know, around that time that it was Isaiah that he saw the king. He saw God. So that's why there's references like that. So in the future, when you read the Bible, don't just skip over those, the brother of this, the mum of that, the sister of this, and then the wife of over there, and that's Hosea or something like that. It's very important. I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted. I just want us to think about that for a second. Imagine seeing the king, imagine seeing God on the throne all of a sudden, and he's high and exalted. And the train of his robe filled the temple. I mean, when I first read that passage, and the train of his robe filled the temple, I sort of just glanced over that. I'm like, oh yeah, okay. But the train of his robe, or the hem of his robe, filled the temple. I want you to think about that for a second. This is the hem of his robe filled the temple. Back then, God wasn't... I don't know if I can use this word, but God wasn't gangster and had big baggy pants or anything. He wore normal clothes, and just imagine that his hem, or his the train of his robe filled the temple. This was his clothing. So imagine standing there seeing this high exalted God sitting on his throne, and his hem, the train of his robe filled the temple. How massive do you think God would have been? I mean, seriously, how massive do you think God would have been in front of Isaiah right there? That alone should have made you crumble and made Isaiah crumble to his knees. We naturally see God, because we're very arrogant, we're human beings, so we judge everything according to us. We tend to think God is someone like our size, maybe a little bit taller than Kevin, maybe. But it's saying here that he's high exalted, and the train of his robe filled the whole temple. So imagine the size of God at that point in time. Just imagine that for a second. Now, when he saw God, okay, when he saw God, something happened. Right now, before I get into the text, I want us to just have a time of reflection. Right now, if I'm to say to you, who's God to you? How do you picture God? Right now, in your own private thoughts, I want you to think about God. Who's God to you? How do you picture God? What's your understanding of God? Me personally, when I first came to the church, and if you're here for the first time, most people, when they're new and they come to church, God is more like Santa Claus. God is like, you know, I'll come to church if you can give me what I want. I'll come to church if my healing gets better. Or I'll come to church if you can give me that. It's sad, but a lot of people see God as that person or that being that is like Santa Claus. But unfortunately, that's not who God is. So who's God to you? Today we're going to actually get into it. Because normally, when you would be in the presence of God, naturally you think, wow, God. I mean, who right here would want to go and see God right now and see his face? I don't know you guys, but I think about that every day. I want to seek his face. I want to see him. Imagine that. Imagine God standing right there and you're like, God, you're here. How would you guys feel? Would you guys feel excited? Yeah? Well, you know what? The crazy thing is Isaiah wasn't excited. Isaiah wasn't excited when he saw God. Isaiah wasn't excited. And let's get into that a bit later. So verse 2, above him were seraphims, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces. So they had six wings, two wings covered their faces, two covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling out to each other. It's one of the most beautiful phrases in the whole Bible, in my opinion. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory. Now we have to understand the reason why the scriptures or the angels use the word holy, holy, holy is because back then that's the way that they would reiterate, or that's the exclamation mark. So He's holy. No. He's holy. No. He's holy. So you can imagine that. He's not good. No, good. He's good. You know, in other words. But good doesn't even cut it. He's holy. He's holy. And the whole earth is full of His glory. These were the angels singing to each other, just yelling out this phrase, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. And verse 4, at the sound of their voices, it says the doorposts shook. And the thresholds, imagine this whole church building here started to shake. Imagine that as the angels are screaming at each other, covering their faces, covering their feet, and screaming at each other, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. And everything's shaking. And here you are, Isaiah, standing in front, looking around, thinking, wow, what's going on here? Yeah, you would be excited to see God, but at that point in time there, Isaiah says something so amazing in verse 5. He says, woe to me. So woe to me is a phrase that isn't saying that, hey, I'm excited to see you, Father. Hey, come give me a hug. It's not a phrase saying that. Woe to me is like a phrase that says, whoa, death upon me. Please kill me now. Does that make sense to you? If you see God right now, are you going to think those thoughts? If you see the God that you pictured before right now, are you going to say, whoa, kill me, God? Or was the God that you pictured, yeah, come give me a hug, I love you? Because Isaiah wasn't like me and you. Isaiah was actually someone who committed his life to the temple. I mean, if anyone was righteous, it was Isaiah. If anyone was righteous, it would have been him. And he's in front of God and he says, whoa, death upon me. Woe basically means I'm not worthy. I mean, I'm so whoa. I wondered why Isaiah said that. So I got into the text and I really searched it out. Because for me, the natural response, right, when you see God is joy, happiness. That to me was the logical way of thinking. But how come he says woe unto me? And this is where I'm going to pause for a second and get into more deeper theology here with us. A.W. Tozer, a great CMA pastor, once wrote in his book, The Knowledge of the Holy, and he said it best. He said, what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. Let me read that again. What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. In case you didn't get it the second time. What comes into your mind about who God is the most important thing about you. Not about God, about you. So this made me go on a journey on finding out who was God. I mean, why would you be so scared of God? The God I thought I knew was a God that was friendly and loving and always wanted to hug you. So let's get into the attributes of God. Because if you get into the attributes of God, you know who God is. Some of us may know these attributes, some of us may not. But I just want to take us on a journey so we all together as a church can understand who we're worshipping. When we wake up Sunday morning, we're not waking up to come and join a social club, I'm sorry. When we wake up Sunday morning, we come to worship the living God. When we come to church on Sunday, we don't come just for 2 hours and then go home. No, no, we come together because we know who we're worshipping at Southside Church here. I can't speak for any other church, but at Southside International Church here, I believe that we know who God is and we come to worship this God. And today, let's get into it and find out who God is. There's a lot of things, but I'll touch on a few attributes or characteristics of who God is. The first one, God is omniscient. God is omniscient. In other words, God knows all things. Right now, God knows if you're thinking about what you're going to do after church or if you're interested in hearing what Johnny's got to say. It's crazy, but God knows that. God knows if right now you're mentally, you've checked out or if you're switched on right now. And I can always tell because those who are smiling are probably those who are sort of checked out already. Now they're coming back. Oh, now everyone's sort of laughing. That's all of you guys. No, I mean, sometimes I would pray and I would laugh or sort of have to repent after I pray. I'll tell you why. Because sometimes I would pray. You know when you pray, not out loud, but in your heart? Yeah? Who does that here? I'm sure everyone does that, right? Sometimes, you know, if someone's really hurt you, you know, and you've taken 2 days to try to forgive this person, but, you know, you just can't. And then you're like, okay, you know what? I'm going to ask God to bless this person. So, you know, deep down inside your heart, you pray. You can't hear it, but you pray in your heart. You know, God, I just want to pray that you bless my beautiful wife. No, she means well. She means well. But I'll pray that you bless her. But then, this other side of you is saying, Johnny, you hate her. You're not serious about that. And it's crazy because we're praying on one side in our hearts to bless this person, but on the other side, it's like, nah, go and slap her around a bit, you know? That's crazy. Do you know why that's crazy? Because you're praying, pretending that this side doesn't exist, but this side does. Sometimes I'll just repent and think, oh God, you know me. I mean, what can I hide from you, seriously? I mean, a lot of us, I think, if we're honest, are like that. We might pray the prayer of forgiveness for someone else, but deep inside you're like, I just can't. I mean, God is omniscient. Do you think he doesn't know these things? This is who God is. We can't change that about God. This is just who he is. He's omniscient. So moving on from there, another attribute of God is he's omnipresent. He's at all places at all times. Now, this is the one that got me. This is the one that got me. This is the one that made the penny drop and made me get serious about God. This is the one. He's at all places at all times. Do you know how scary it is when you're alone and no one's watching, so you're like, you know what, I can get away with this. And for that split second, you forget that you're Christian. And you go onto that website. You see that porn site, and you're about to jump on. No one's watching. God's watching. He's watching you over your shoulder, looking at you, breaking down in tears and saying, my son, my daughter, don't go there. I beg, my son, don't go there because it's going to strangle you. Don't go there. But we do, because at that instant, God doesn't exist. That's the one that got me. If it's not pornography, it could be gossip. Hey, don't tell no one, but you know what this person said to me? Whatever it is, when you're alone and no one's watching, God is watching. And I want us to be very clear about that. Your secret sin that you know deep inside your heart, it's not a secret to God. Let me make that, it's not, you don't surprise God. That's just who God is. We can't change that fact about him. I wish I could. That was the one attribute I said, God, if I could change, that would be it. But you can't. It's just who he is. As this pulpit is the way it is, if you're happy, it's still there. If you're sad, it's still there. If we go home, it's going to still be here. You can't change the fact that that's who God is.
So which one is it that scares you? I want you to think about, or which one is it that encourages you? Because on the other side, that's what encourages me the most. Hey, that God's at all places with me at all times. Who do I have to fear if God is on my side? If God is for me and He's the judge, I mean, who can be against me? Who can be against me? God is with you. I want to make that clear. God is with you every single step of the way. When you think you can't do it, God is there. When you're by yourself and no one's around you, God is there. When you're at night when you're sleeping and you're a bit afraid, you feel the hairs stand up on your body, you get the shivers, you know what? Doesn't matter. God's there. I tell you the good news. When we die, God's going to be there. Standing like this. This is how God's going to be. He'll be there. And that's the faith I seek. That's who I want to be with. Moving on from that, God is omnipotent. God can do everything. There's not one thing He can't do. There's nothing that He can't do. Let me give you one example of a million things. At work, I was working, and this guy pulls up next to me, and he says, and he looked very sad, and he said, "Johnny, I found out that we can't have babies. Johnny, I found out that my wife has an issue with her ovaries, and we can't have babies." And I don't know why I asked him this question, and I said, "Are you okay?" It's the worst question to ask someone. He goes, "Of course I'm not okay. I'm 20 years old, and I expect to have babies. I'm not okay." This guy is an atheist. He hates religion. He hates God. But I don't know why. I said to him, "Do you mind if I pray for you?" He goes, "Why would you want to pray for me for?" And I said, "Because God can do anything." I said to him, "I've got a pastor. I've got a pastor and his wife who couldn't have a baby. And this big booming American preacher came down once and said, and pointed right at them and said, 'Do you know who God is?' And God blessed them with three beautiful kids that they gave birth to." I said to him, "God can do anything. Let me pray for you." And you know what he said? "Yes, please. Yes, please." In the middle of the whole warehouse, over 500 people, I was like, "Come on, man, right here." He was like, "Right here? Come on, brother." Everyone's driving past us, and I'm sure he would be looking over his shoulder, but I didn't care, you know. I'm the blessing right there. Be bold. I mean, this is God. He can do anything. That's how much He loves us. And the last attribute I want to talk about, there's many more, and I encourage you to find out and seek who God is. But the last one I want to talk about is God is eternal. A Sunday school student once asked me the question, "Okay, Johnny, if you think you're so smart, God created the world, who created God?" Ah, I got you there. If God created the world, who created God? And my response was, "That's a very good question. Well, you've got to understand that God's just always existed." They're like, "Oh, okay, well, that makes sense." It's who God is. God has just always existed. That's why He says, "I'm the Alpha and the Omega." That's why He says, "I'm the beginning and I am the end." You know what the crazy thing is? I'm 32 years old, believe it or not. And compared to infinity, eternal, I mean, just in my 32 years of living, in your 60 years of living, in your 40 years of living, I want you to compare that to eternity. I want you to compare that to eternity. I mean, do you really think that you know more than the Bible? Do you really think you know more than what God's placed here before you? Compare your 60 years of life, compare that to an eternity of knowledge. I love what Jeremy said. "I was thinking one thing, but I understood that, hold on, it doesn't matter what I think." No, it matters what God thinks. We need to understand that, we need to get that. It doesn't matter what you think. It only matters what God thinks. And trust me when I say this. If you live your life according to the Bible, trust me if I say this. If you live your life according to the Bible, your life will be blessed. You go seeking after money. You go seeking after another spouse because your one has grown old and not that good looking. Maybe more, you're very beautiful. I still love you. I'm not talking about you. But if you move on, I'll probably sleep on the couch tonight. Thanks, guys. If you move on, you know, I mean, you're not going to... Don't be chasing after these worldly things. Trust me when I say this. The Word of God is your answer. God is your answer. He lays it all out there and says, here, this is in, nowadays, in plain English. Which version do you want? NIV, ESV, ABC? I don't know, which version do you want? I mean, it's here for us, and I think we should really get into the Word of God. So we've got to understand God is eternal, and we should never try to think that, hey, my knowledge is better than God, or I know more than God, because we don't. We just simply don't. Moving on from the text now, just so we've got a clear picture of who God is, I just wanted to give us a quick snippet. Now that we know who God is this amazing being. Isaiah says, woe to me. This is why he says woe to me in verse 5. Because he knows that God knows everything about him. This is why he says, woe to me. Wow. I want you to just imagine, I know a lot of people have used this example, but just think about it for a second. Imagine your life right now on this TV screen, every thought that you've had, and you can't move. Everyone's watching your life now. Yeah, you know that time you jumped on that website? Yeah. That's going to come up here. When you looked over your shoulder first to make sure no one's looking before you jumped on that website, yep, it's going to come up here. And what you did, and what you saw, you would probably think like Isaiah as well. God, kill me. I'd rather you kill me, God. Woe to me. Destroy me than for them to see who I am. Please kill me. I don't want them to see who I am. See, in the presence of God, that's what's happening. God knows exactly who you are, and it doesn't surprise him. That's the point. I think sometimes we may think that we surprise God, and we're trying to hide something from God, and it's silly. You can't hide nothing from God. He knows. People are a different story, but with God, you can't lie to him. You know exactly your thoughts. You know exactly your life. And this is what has made Isaiah feel and say, destroy me, God. I'd rather be destroyed than be in your presence because you're too holy for me. You're too holy for me. And then verse 6. Then one of the seraphims flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the tongs from the altar. So an angel took a coal. And verse 7, with it he touched my mouth and he said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sins atoned for. What's that sound like? What's that sound like? Yeah, I know that you're a sinful person. I know this, but you know what? Because of this cold, your sins are forgiven, brother. Your sins are forgiven, sister. It was foreshadowing something. It was foreshadowing Jesus Christ. This great being, this great God, this holy, holy God who knows all things, is eternal, has no beginning, has no end, can do all things. This massive God, listen carefully here, here's the message. This massive God came down and humbled himself and said, kill me, because I am willing to die for you. I am willing to die for you. This great God is saying, I am willing to die for you. I'm willing to die for you. And something amazing happens. This great God, he doesn't need to. He comes down and he gets crucified and he dies for us. So our sins washed away, but not just that. Read it carefully. It says in verse 7 at the end, At the end of verse 7 it says, and your sin atoned for. Now that concept of atonement is such an amazing concept because, yeah, true, Jesus came and died on the cross for our sins, but not just that. Listen carefully. He transferred his righteousness into you. Listen carefully. He died for your sins. The one who's never sinned before came and died for those who sinned. So he came and died for all of us who sinned. Yeah, this mighty God took away your sins. And then he said, now here, have righteousness. Boom. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but that gets me excited, man. Amen. And that's probably why you see me jumping around, because you know what? Yeah, my sins are forgiven, but then I've got righteousness too. I mean, in this transaction, and what did Johnny have to deal for it? Well, what did I do to get it? Ephesians 2 says what? It's the grace of God. He gives you this free gift for free. I mean, if you get that today, then you will get it. Because, can you feel me explode? I want to jump out of my skin and shake you and shove it down. I mean, sorry, Kevin, I won't get so animated anymore. I'm just excited at the moment. Yeah, this God, this amazing God comes and just gives himself to you and just gives you his righteousness. And Isaiah got it. And I'll finish on this. Verse 8 says, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Whom will go for us? Let me make this clear to you, us all. When you get it that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, and you get it that this amazing God came down and died for you and transferred his righteousness into you, from there it starts. He asks the question, whom should I send? And who will go? And Isaiah can't help but to say, here I am, send me. Just imagine that. God's talking to all his angels, and then there's Isaiah. Who should I send? All the angels are like, no, I don't want to go down to those human beings now. Isaiah's like, me, in the background, me. Why is he saying that? He's saying that because he gets it, that his sins have been removed and he is now born again. He now has righteousness in his life. So he's like, send me. Yes, send me. My challenge to you today is this. Right now, God's asking the same question. Right now, God's asking the same question right now. He needs to send people out to the mission field. He's serious about that. And the question is going to be asked right now from this pulpit. Whom should God send? Who's willing to put their hands up and say, you know what, I'm willing to commit. I'm willing to commit and be the next pastor. I'm willing to commit to go to this unknown people group in the world. I'm willing to go. Send me. Who's willing to do that? It's good to stand here and sit here and listen to the sermon, but who's willing to go? Who's really willing to commit their lives to it? It starts from understanding the gospel. It starts from understanding the good news that Jesus died for you for free. It's a free gift. Every day we need to take that cross and walk that path with him. That's the question I want to leave with us then. If you feel right now the Holy Spirit knocking in your heart, I mean right now, if you feel the Holy Spirit knocking in your heart, I don't believe in altar calls. I don't believe in people coming out to the front. I don't believe in all that. Because right now it might just be all emotion. I'm not interested in emotion at the moment. I'm interested in the hard facts, the truth. If you're serious, I want you to go home. Whether you've been a Christian for 50 years or 5 minutes, sometime this week, get down on your knees in your bedroom, close the door, and you beg God. And you say, God, you know what? I'm serious. God, you know what? I'm serious. I don't know everything, but I'm willing to take that step. I'm willing to commit. I'm willing to break out of my shell, my comfort zone. I'm going to get serious about you, God. I want to challenge us. In your own private room, close the door, kneel down and pray to God. And if God ever speaks to you, fair enough. You'll hear Johnny come and preach again. Maybe that'll get you. But if God does move you, if God does move you, then I really want to challenge you. Come and speak to our leaders. Come and speak to Kevin. Come and speak to Derek. Come and speak to Craig. You know who your elders are. You know who your shepherds are. And say to them, look, I don't know what you need me to do, but I'm ready and I'm willing to serve God. If it means setting out chairs, hey, I'm going to set out chairs the best I can. If it means putting away the chairs while everyone's gone home, hey, Kevin, I'm happy to do that job. If it means setting out after afternoon tea, don't be waiting for Marilyn all the time. Put your hand up and say, you know what, I won't take up this responsibility. I'm going to challenge you today. Let's serve God. We don't need to go overseas to serve God. We can serve God right here. If you can't serve God, you've got no time. You can pray. You can pray. Set up a prayer team. Nothing more important than supernaturally speaking to God till He answers. Nothing more important than supernaturally asking for some supernatural favor back. So now I've challenged you like this. I want us to open up our hearts and let me pray and close. Father in heaven, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. Lord, the whole earth is full of your glory. Lord, and we are so disgusting, Lord. Woe to us, Lord. Woe to us. Father God, right now, Lord, I want to just pray, Lord, that if there's someone sitting out there that hears that knocking in their hearts, Lord, if they feel like they need to do something but they're not sure what to do, Lord, I want to pray that they can humble themselves, Lord, and pray and come before you and just ask that you make this change in their lives and so they can serve you, Lord, in whichever capacity, Lord, that you ask. Father God, my prayer and our prayer together, Lord, is that you and you alone may be glorified. Lord, you and you alone may be lifted up and your name, the name of Jesus Christ, may be known to all nations, all people groups around the world. Lord, may your name be hallowed. May you be glorified. And Lord, we thank you for being God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.